Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson on Blog Talk Radio, and you're saying, where in the heck has he been? Well, I don't know. Last week, I think the Taliban was involved with taking us off the air because we've become too controversial in the natural world. I don't know what happened. And the week before that, well, Eric Altman, he's the manpower behind all this. He was under the weather and I was running behind, so it just got all miscombobulated and we don't know what happened. And we thought Blog Talk Radio was going to disown us, but hey, we're here. And glad that you are. We've got an hour of excitement here today. We're very, very excited because we have some brand new news. Eric, should I bring this on everyone right from the start?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, I'm telling you. All right, next Thursday, 11 to 12. Been a big controversy in the cryptozoology world, the Bigfoot world, about the so-called massacre of a Sasquatch family in Bluff Creek, California. And that massacre supposedly set out by John Green, Roger Patterson, Bob Gimlin, and that dastardly Rene DeHinden and Bob Titmus actually killing a Sasquatch family. Well, we're going to take this story that's more suitable for the Halloween holiday versus actual Bigfoot fact. And we're going to discuss it next week from 11 to 12 with Harrison Hot Springs' favorite citizen, John Green. That's right. And from Yakima, Washington, 50% of the gravest evidence ever put up for the existence of Bigfoot or Sasquatch. That's right, Bob Gimlin. And we're going to talk all about this story that has been, has had way too much coverage, and it's just, I don't know how to say it, man. Let's put it this way, I cleaned a big wheelbarrow load of it out of my bear house this afternoon. So that's about the same. Oh, it's going to be fun. So we hope everybody tunes in. We think this will definitely be a moment in Bigfoot history. We'll see what happens. It should be a great time, though. Hour long. 11 to 12 next week right here on Blog Talk Radio, Thursday night. Larry Batson's Wild World with John Green, Bob Gimlin. Can't wait. We've had an exciting couple of weeks since the last time we've had to talk to everybody. We were in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, home of the National Conservation Training Center. Once a year they have their great big open house. That's October the 16th and 17th. Now let me explain something, folks. This is a high security government facility. Every U.S. Fish and Wildlife officer, conservation officers from all 50 states, biologists, zoologists, field researchers and mammals and birds and reptiles and flowers and toads and frogs, they all go through this place. And it's unbelievable. There's like five hotels on this property. I'm thinking it's like 1,500 acres. It's the safest place in the world because the only thing there is cops. You don't lock your vehicle for the entire weekend that you're there, that we're there. So here's what we do. We travel from Indiana. It's about a 12-hour drive, and we load our van with wild animals. This year we took our Alaskan wolf, our baboon, our little olive baboon, baby Elizabeth, ringtail lemur. No, we didn't take a lemur. I take that back. We took a bobcat. How could I get those two confused? And we took a python and a tarantula and a Gila monster, and we went over there and we did four programs on Saturday. I have to tell you, normally it's a nice sunny day. This year, it rained and it rained and it rained. It rained all the time. But I think it helped the crowds because we had huge crowds. We did four programs in the same auditorium that I did the Bigfoot lecture last June. Seats, gosh, I don't know how many. It probably seats 300 people. But it's just a fantastic facility, and it's our kind of people. These are nature people. These are people that are basically preserving and saving our national parks and national forests. So we have a lot in common with these folks. It was a great time. We got to find out the latest thing that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is involved with. And, of course, the latest thing, if you haven't heard, is the population of pythons and other exotic reptiles and mammals in the Everglades. In fact, now the pythons, the population is so established, they're actually reproducing in the Everglades. Pythons are egg layers. That happens in the tropics, usually January 9. Now, what I've always wondered, you know, in January, I've been in Florida, it can get cold, so I'll bet a percentage of the eggs that are incubated by the pythons don't make it. So we'll see. But anyway, there's thousands of them in there, and it's creating a problem because they eat native fauna. I mean, a big python, 20-foot python, could take a 6-7-foot alligator. So the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service doesn't know what to do. I told them, but it wasn't my idea. When we were over there, I was speaking with the assistant director of the National Conservation Training Center, and I said, all you guys have to do is put a bounty on them. You know, put back $1 million. Put the bounty as $50 a snake. I'm telling you right now, they'll get wiped out. They'll get taken care of because it doesn't matter what it is in this country. We did it with wolves. We put a bounty on them. They were about wiped out. And it just goes on and on and on. So this python situation can be taken care of. Well, let's put it this way. A really big dent could be put in it. So if they're seen, it's very rarely. Now, well, and it's not only pythons. There's like monitor lizards that live in the Everglades now. The giant Bufo marine toads. You know, a toad that weighs about 4 or 5 pounds. And all toads are toxic, so just take a small toad, which can potentially make your dog very sick if it picks it up and chews on it for any period of time. So a big toad is lethal. I mean, they're bad news, but these are Bufo marinus, and most of them have escaped from either animal dealers. The hurricanes that went through Florida, they say a lot were released then, and the pythons, and the monitor lizards, and there's been reports, and this is real. This is where it gets dangerous, especially for ones not expecting to run into such a thing. But there are now cobras in the Everglades because it's a perfect habitat. I mean, it's very much like India and the marshy areas that they do live in their own real natural world, and now they're flourishing in the Everglades, and they're doing great, so I told him, I said, put a $50 bounty on each snake, and $1 million, you'll have, now I have to do math. Eric, did you bring your calculator? But anyway, you put a tremendous dent in these things. So they said they would take my idea and they would present it to the proper people, which means it won't happen. You know, I'd offer to go down there and catch snakes and help them, but it's going to take a lot of people. And, you know, even though there might be a lot of pythons, I mean, there's a lot of pythons in Asia, in Burma, where these things live in the wild, India. Of course, you've got the big pythons in Africa, the African rock pythons. But there's a heavy population, but you don't see them that often in the wild. I mean, these things are masters of camouflage. So to see a python in the wild, you know, even where they're quite prevalent, just doesn't happen all the time. So I guess there's been a few people that have walked up on pythons that alligators have swallowed. course, they probably enjoy armadillos and raccoons and everything else that live down in those swamplands. So hopefully we can get this problem taken care of. Most of it has to do with people that have had them as pets. And if you feed a python properly, it's 8, 9, 10 foot a year. 2 years, you got a 15, 16, 17-foot snake that weighs in the neighborhood of 150, 175, possibly 200 pounds. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got other pets, like your chihuahua or your poodle, you know, these are all natural foods for these animals. In fact, especially in the island of Borneo, you know, the people that live there, they have dogs. Some of them probably become part of the dinner table, but some of them are pets, and it's not unusual for one of their pets just to disappear one night, never see it again. And they figure two things happened to it, either a leopard or a python. And the pythons, I mean, there's reports of them crawling right into villages and living underneath these huts. Well, the big one that was caught in Florida many, many years ago, and I'm thinking this was like 15, 16 years ago, all the neighborhood kids kept saying, "Mom, Dad, we're seeing this big snake. We're seeing this," and they didn't believe him. Then one day the postman's making his rounds, he's delivering the mail, he looks over by this house and he sees about the last 8 foot of it crawl underneath the house. Of course, there was no possums in the neighborhood anymore. There was lost dogs and cats. That's not funny. I take that back. Delete my laugh, but it happens. So when the postman saw it, then they called in the proper people to capture it, and that snake was, I'm thinking it was about 23 feet long. And you're talking about a head, you know, it's got a head the size of a football. So luckily I knew these fellas, and I remember my good friend Jim Fowler said, he heard about the story, said, "Hey, I know the guys that have that snake," and they end up taking it out on the Tonight Show. Now, that particular python was a reticulated python. And next to the anaconda, they're the biggest. And they get over 30 feet long. And they have a very nasty disposition. And if I remember right, when they took that big snake on Johnny Carson, it wasn't very nice. No. So, but anyway, so that's the problem in the Everglades. So hopefully we can, within the next 10 years, neutralize it, make it better than it is now. And it's too bad, you know, people that set them free when they outgrew their petliness, or the ones that have escaped from hurricanes, from animal dealers, or just plain escaped. I mean, these guys bring in thousands of animals. Believe me, some of them do get away. And in the Everglades, it's almost perfect for them. It's their natural world, and they just grow and populate and create the problem that we have today. So I'm going to crawl off of my soapbox here, and that's quite upsetting to me. Very upsetting. About like catching alligators in the rivers of Indiana. Though they don't do that well here once winter comes. No more alligators. That's why we have 23. Absolutely. But we want to remind everybody, check out our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It talks about our animal rescue work that we do and also our animal education programs. And you can also, because we are a 501c3, a non-for-profit corporation, you can contribute to us if you would like, and we would greatly appreciate it. And you go to the donate page and hit that, and we do PayPal. And just think, your $20 donation feeds our 6 tigers for one meal. So that really helps us out a lot. Absolutely. But we're going to have a great time tonight. We're going to talk a little Bigfoot tonight. You know, I've always, I said there's a million Bigfoot sites, and I want to do something a little bit different. But, you know, I've been doing this Bigfoot research for about 30 years, so kind of hard for me to stay away from it. Then the opportunity that we're going to have next week to talk about the Bluff Creek Massacre with Bob Gimlin and John Green, get their side of the story. Yes, sir. This is going to be exciting. So we're very excited about that. Eric's so excited he actually had to wear a diaper tonight. And he's Sorry, Eric. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. It's raining here in Indiana, by the way. I know that's an exciting thing to mention, but it is raining and it looks like winter's on its way, even though we did enjoy 70-degree temperatures. And got the alligators all moved in inside for the winter, and they looked out on this beautiful day and said, "Dad, can we go out one more time?" And I said, "Nope, because I just have to catch you again and wrestle you right back in this building." So, because winter's on its way, we're almost into November. And anyone familiar with the tropical jungles of Indiana, the winter is not tropical. No, from about November to March, it's gray and dingy and not much fun. So we have that to look forward to. And all is good. All is good. We start our school programs, and our baby baboon has been quite the big hit, and the kids love her, and we're certainly glad we love her, and it's a two-legged party, this Ollie baboon. And by the way, we have a website. In fact, if you email me at LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, we have some fantastic photographs from our shows at the National Conservation Training Center a couple weeks ago, or bobcat, or olive baboon, some of our other special guests we took along with us, the big snake, Gila monster, tarantula. You can see those in fantastic photos. So we hope you go to there, to LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, drop me an email, and I'll let you know how to see those photographs. And for those on Facebook, you can look us up on Facebook, Larry Batson, B-A-T-T-S-O-N, or my lovely wife, Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L, Batson, B-A-T-T-S-O-N. Both have pages on Facebook, so let's be friends, and we hope to hear from you. Absolutely. It's a great day in Indiana, and all is good. Absolutely. Looking forward. Oh, we've had some great Bigfoot programs this week, too. We were down in Princeton, Indiana. And I was in Spencer, Indiana, two nights ago. And lo and behold, had many eyewitnesses come up and tell me their stories. So that's always a lot of fun. You never know what you're going to hear when you do one of these programs. And our school programs have been going nuts. We've been taking animals to schools, and already I think I've counted up since the 1st of October, we visited about 25 schools. So kids love it, and we love it, and that's what it's all about, the young people, absolutely. Coming up, we have, I'm kind of excited about this. In fact, we're waiting for her to call in at any moment.
She's on the line, Larry.
She's on the line.
Yep.
Mel, you there?
She is standing by. Let's bring on the phone Melissa Hovey from Ohio. She is the president of the American Bigfoot Society, has a couple of great websites, one of them a blog called Search for Bigfoot, or you can find it at txsasquatch.blogspot.com, and the other one is the searchforbigfoot.org, which is a forum that she runs. So we want to welcome to the program tonight the lovely Melissa Hovey. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you?
She says, Larry just called me at the last minute. God love you for coming on.
Well, you know, I mean, you've been kind enough to come on my program, you know, more than once, so, yeah.
You know, and I want to tell you something right now. Now, I may have mentioned this, but I've done since, Eric does a fine blog talk show.
Yeah,
don't you, Eric?
It's not blog talk anymore, but we do a good show.
Well, same idea. Right, I know. I know. Eric found out that the blog talk was run by the Taliban, so he doesn't anymore. But Melissa, I've done a lot of those, especially since my West Virginia program. And, you know, most of them are kind of, how do I put this, pretty bad. But I have to say that yours is a cut above.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I mean, both Monica and I work really hard to get, you know, good guests on the program. But it's, you know, it's not really hard to put on a good show when you have good guests like yourself. So, I mean, it's, you know, I try to make it as informal as possible, and it's like an hour of listening in on a telephone conversation between friends. You know, I ask you questions on the program that, you know, you and I would discuss, you know, just talking on the phone or in emails. So I think it's pretty interesting, and it kind of gives people an insight into how you and I think and how, you know, other people think in this field of research.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's what makes it successful, you know. And what's so professional about it is I do a radio program on Sundays. I actually bring hits. And my mentor, the fellow that he's also, per se, a radio personality, he tells me this. He says, "Don't be a DJ, brother." He says, "Just talk. You know,
right.
Not 40 at 40. You know, don't do that. Just talk." And he's right. And
yeah.
it sounds so much better, you know. And the idea of slipping in on a phone conversation and hearing, and we get into some pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some researchers out there that have had some interesting experience. There's a book in every researcher, I think. I shouldn't say that will be innovative.
Well, yeah, just about. Yeah.
Well, some of them there's not. Let me take that back.
Well,
there's
yeah, there's not one on Eric Altman yet, but we'll have to work on that.
Well, Eric's probably I'm down. He's probably got a whole encyclopedia stored up in somewhere in his home files.
I plead the fifth.
Oh, Eric, I'm sure he does. I mean, and I know you do, Melissa. I mean, all this. I mean, the quality stuff comes through your site, and the quality people that contribute are on your site. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. Yeah, I mean, we have on my board. You know, we have a number of contributors that blow me away with the amount of information they know and that they can retain. I always thought I was a smart person,
yeah.
But you know, their level of knowledge is just far beyond anything that, you know, I can even take partial credit for. You know, like you come in and you discuss animals. We have Bill Munns who comes on and he'll discuss creature suits and suit making and his work that he's been doing. And we have Lal, and she talks about all kinds of different things. I mean, it's just, you know, the knowledge these people have just simply blows me away. And, you know, all I can really talk about is what I do in the field and, you know, legal stuff and, you know, investigations. That's about all I can talk about. So.
Well, at Bill Munns, he's ate up. I mean, he posts pages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
I'll read some of the stuff he's put on there. I go, my God, this is taking him out. Well, he probably doesn't type like I type, but I mean, he goes into such great detail.
Yeah, he does, and yeah, and he's tried to explain some of the stuff to me, and you know, I'm just like, you know, I think it's great that you're taking the time to try to teach me this kind of stuff, but really, it's, you know, there's just some things I think that we have the ability to retain because it's something that we have some basic knowledge in, but you know, it's kind of like, you know, taking you being an animal expert and sitting you down in front of a nuclear physics book, you know, you're kind of like, it's interesting, but you know, my brain's
funny.
Not going to retain that.
That'd be funny. Hell, I can't even retain watching the news. I mean, literally. what happened? I have no idea. I just look at the pictures. I didn't listen to a damn thing that was said tonight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, and then Bill, I've talked to Bill, and it's like, yes, 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 you're right, yes, and I don't know a damn thing he said.
Yeah,
when
but,
he starts,
yeah.
Go ahead.
But he does have the ability, though, and I've told him this, you know, that he does have the ability to take these complex formulas and these complex ideas, you know, about photography and all this, and he has the ability to break it down and explain it so that someone like myself, who has no, you know, knowledge of this stuff at all, can actually, you know, understand where he's coming from and what he's trying to get across. His point's not lost in his postings as long as you read all the way through, you know. So, I mean, in the end, you do come away with a full understanding pretty much of what he's talking about, and it makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
It really does, yeah.
Yeah, I just, when I read it, I just keep saying to myself, I'm just so stupid.
I feel that way a lot.
I'm just a mental midget. This is like, what in the hell is he I kind of, you know, it's like, it's great. Hey, now I wanted—I didn't mention this earlier when I stalked you to be on the program tonight, but I wanted to talk about the Monster Quest show, and you know, we've both had experiences with them. And, you know, people really don't know what's behind the Monster Quest. You don't care about making them mad, do you?
Not really. I mean, really, who do I care? I mean, as far as that goes, I mean, I think I've pretty much gone after just about everybody there is to go after in this field of research. So I don't think the producers of Monster Quest are going to be upset.
You've never gone after Eric, have you?
No, actually,
I haven't.
How can you
go after Eric? He always has. Do you have a tie on right now, Eric?
No.
Well, that's a miracle, I'm going to tell you right now, because every photograph I've ever seen of him.
Well, maybe I should rephrase that. I've been accused of going after just about everybody in the field of Bigfoot research, but no, we can talk about Monster Quest. I don't have a problem with that at all. But
well,
first of all,
they're going after me.
Huh? When have they gone after you?
Nobody goes after me. That's
no,
I
know that.
Eric is too nice.
Yeah.
You know,
I wear a tie. I'm stuffy.
Well, it you know, when you have the tie on, it increases your IQ by about 20 points. Did
you
know that?
It makes me look like I'm important.
I used to wear a tie, but it didn't help. For my instances, it didn't. People look at you, he's still just stupid as hell. I mean, the tie or not, he doesn't really matter. But Eric, he can carry off the tie. I can't carry off the tie.
I'm just trying to earn some respect somehow.
Well,
Bigfooting's not working well, so I got to try something.
Well, look at poor Keating. Melissa, did you read about poor Keating? The poor man does a Today Show, and I saw the newspaper article, and I'm looking up the comments people sent in. You talk about hateful. They basically said he's a poor representative of our community. And I'm reading these, and I was gonna register in and say, but you know, most of these guys that post that sort of thing, they're just big fat guys in front of a monitor,
right?
That haven't taken two steps into the field and haven't read one. As Eric would tell you, and as you would tell people, anybody that has really gone and researched it, read some books. That's a new thing for the 2000s. Read a book and read some books about this. After you finish reading them, you'd have to say, "Where there's smoke, there's fire."
Well, you know, I've always said, and people that are listening to this will probably attest to this, but I've said this 100 times. You know, it's really easy to be negative and bash somebody, but it's difficult, you know, bash a person based on what they do. It's something else to put yourself in their shoes and actually get out there and do what they do and experience
Absolutely.
What they experience. So,
I mean, I'll go ahead.
Well, no, really, when I see things like that, I actually feel sorry for people who've never actually been out there in the field with somebody who calls themselves a Bigfoot researcher and actually sees what we're about and what we do. I feel sorry for them that they simply choose to get on, you know, some website and, you know, spew hatred because they don't have a clue. They don't have the first clue as to what we're about. You know, so I just find it sad. I really do.
Well, I'll tell you what I have done, and I'm very proud of this, but I have taken people that were very skeptical to the point where they pointed and laughed at me, and I've taken them into the field, and by the end of the night, I had them crying like girly girls.
That's awesome.
and I was very proud of that moment. And also what really helps them in that particular situation, when you get them into the woods and they think that after midnight we're going to trounce through the woods and look for the Sasquatch or Bigfoot, I go to my truck and get out my snake hook and also mention, oh, by the way, the area that we're looking for Bigfoot also has one of the highest population of rattlesnakes. And they
That's not nice.
Oh, but it's so much fun. And the entertainment value is 10. It's 10. You can't buy that type of entertainment.
See, now, you'd say something like that to me out in the field, and I would refuse to get on my vehicle because I hate snakes, especially poisonous ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would freak me out.
You're trying to tell me that if we were in the field and you thought there might be the opportunity to actually see a Sasquatch, that you would not go in the fear that they might be within a few feet of a snake? No.
I choose self-preservation.
One guy told me, he says, I didn't come into the woods to die. That was the moment of all ecstasy for me. And he was a probation officer. Oh, and he was a tough guy before we went. But by the time it was all over, his manhood was in question.
Okay.
Well, anyway, we're having too much fun. We've got to do PSAs. I think Eric has a bunch of them lined up. We're going to come back, and when we come back on Blog Talk Radio, we're going to abuse the Monster Quest program. We're not going to abuse it. We're just going to lay out the facts on how it's. Never mind. And we'll be back in just a few moments, right here on Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Take me fishing and show me how to drive the boat.
Take me fishing so I can tell you what a great dad you've been.
Take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you.
Take me fishing because I miss my boy.
Rediscover the joy of boating and fishing. Get information and get going at takemefishing.org.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
There are some visitors you'd just rather not see. Like your obnoxious brother-in-law, Louie.
Hey, everybody, we're here. Good to see you. When do we eat?
But then there are some visitors you just can't get enough of. To make your farm or ranch a more attractive place for the visitors you actually want to see, contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office. They can help you build the habitat wildlife loves. But as for Louie, try disconnecting the doorbell. This message brought to you by USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service and this radio station.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
I think those PSAs have gotten shorter. I didn't even get a chance to get to the cannon back. Eric, did you cut a couple of those out?
Actually, I only have 3 uploaded right now. I've got to upload some more. And I'll put some promos for Melissa's show and a couple other shows on Blog Talk and, you know, get the word out about everybody.
Well, we need to get the word out about her program, also her website. Search for Bigfoot. And Eric, you need to start contributing to that.
I visit and I read the posts, but I just don't contribute much to the forums or the blogs anymore. I spend a lot of my time out in the field doing the research.
What if we bought you another tie?
I might consider it.
Okay. Eric has some good stuff. Pennsylvania's become a Bigfoot preserve. He's had a report about did you get one tonight, Eric?
No, not tonight.
Man, he's had, every time I call him, he says, well, I've got to go. I've got Bigfoot over at somebody's house at a tea party. And it's like, it's on and on. But anyway.
Yeah, I got some pictures on my Facebook page if anyone wants to check it out, some of our latest investigations and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. It's Eric Altman, Altman. I did get that right, didn't I, Eric?
Yep.
Yeah. So you need, definitely, because I'll tell you what, he puts good stuff. So does Melissa on their face page. Melissa gives people hard times on hers. she lets it be known how she feels about things. I have children read mine, so I can't do that. The young school children might think I'm, you know, don't know the people that you look up to. Don't get to know them. That's what I heard. And that's really true with me. So if you enjoy my presentation or my show or this dang blog talk radio show, don't meet me in person because I'm a real whatever. Anyway, hey, we was got a bug monster quest. Who was your main contact person on that show?
It was Rick Knoll.
Rick Knoll?
Yeah.
Was he actually working for Monster Quest?
Yes, he was.
Working for the production company?
Yeah, he was doing some filming.
Oh. Was he on your particular episode at all?
I saw your
episode, but it's like I'm over 55 and I can't remember after a week.
There was just like a brief moment in the beginning of that show, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if, because they showed old video of the Skookum expedition. When they were pouring the Skookum cast and lifting it.
Right.
Right.
So is that where you guys did your deal at?
Yeah, we were in Skookum Meadows there in Gifford Pinchot National Forest.
How was that?
Yeah, it was, okay, it's kind of,
Tell the truth. You can
yeah.
be honest.
Well, you know, I mean, when I first got involved in this, I heard wild stories about Skookum Meadows. I heard that it was terrifying at night and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, being, for the most part, since I was about 7, been a city kind of person. It gets awfully, awfully dark out there at night, and it can be a little intimidating. The scenery is breathtaking. I mean, we were camped on a place called Hilltop, and we were right across from Mount St. Helens.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, we could see Mount St. Helens, and I believe it was Mount Adams.
Yeah.
And the view was just incredible. But it was, you know, the whole time we were there, up until the last day, it rained every single day. And then the last day we woke up, there was actually a hard frost on our tents. And we did, I would say, the large part of the filming in the rain. It was just unbelievable. I mean, the conditions were miserable. But, you know, what are you going to do? You have to deal with it, and you move forward and see what you can make out of it. So,
well, it's a rainforest, right?
I don't know. Would you call it a rainforest?
Part, well, isn't that area considered rainforest like Northern California?
To be honest with you, I couldn't answer that question. I don't know.
Just make up something.
that gets people in trouble now.
I know. But right. So it was very intimidating at night. It was very dark. Now, did you hear, did you see, did you smell anything abnormal besides the camera people?
That first night that we were on Hilltop, the very first night we were in the area, we actually camped in a place called the Gravel Pit, which the name says it all. It's a gravel pit.
Yeah.
And but then the second night we camped up on Hilltop, and you actually see us on the show setting up our camp that next morning. And that night, Monica and I and Kathy were sitting around a campfire, and we had rocks thrown at us. They weren't large rocks, they were small. But nonetheless, they were thrown in between, I believe it was Monica and Kathy.
Right.
And then that night when Monica and I went to the to our tent, you know, for a while there, I swear to God, still to this day, we could hear something walking around our tent. But we never did see what it was, and we even climbed out of the tent to see if we could get a look at whatever it was, but we never could get a look at it, so...
Where were the film people at?
They were down in the gravel pit, which is probably about a half mile from Hilltop. Half mile,
quarter
mile.
Why weren't they up there with you?
Because it was a women's expedition. And we were there to do our thing. And
right.
This was nighttime. This was while we were, you know, going to bed. There was no reason for them to be there. You know, we didn't expect anything was going to go down. We had camera traps all around, but nothing got triggered, as far as I know. So, but no, they retired to their tents down at the gravel pit at the end of the day. So,
did they not know that the Sasquatch is active in the evening and that they should have had their cameras out ready to film? Because look, what if there were two or three male Sasquatches?
Would have
been the perfect bait.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, see, that was a pretty major point of contention for me. Because when I went up there to do that show, I had already started my blog, which was devoted to, you know, women involved in this at the time. And so I was really interested in showing that women could use the equipment, we can get out there and do all the things that guys do.
Well, absolutely.
So, I mean, that was my thing. I was really interested in doing that and showing that. I mean, because, you know, Monica's been involved in this, and Kathy Moskowitz for, I don't even know how long, Monica 5, 6, 7 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I thought it was a really good opportunity to show that women can get out there and do this and be just as effective. Unfortunately, we had a cameraman that had to be in bed by 10 o'clock every night. So they kind of limited, that wasn't Rick. That wasn't Rick Knoll. This was somebody provided by Monster Quest. So.
Oh, I think I met him. Yes, I think he was at my shoot. He was not very manly.
That's putting it mildly.
He wouldn't go into the woods after dark. He stayed in tent, huh?
No.
Well, see, here's why they got mad at me. Because I sat there and told him, I says, now, folks, do you think there's any way possible, God, they're going to be even madder at me, that you're going to film one of these things with your walkie-talkies and your ATVs and your Winnebagos and your camera hanging off every tree and your sound guy that has to have a mic, a boom mic? I says, that ain't going to happen. You might get rocks thrown at you. You might hear something in the distance, but as far as the opportunity to actually film one of these things, it ain't going to happen. And their words were, well, we have to make some sort of television.
Yeah.
Which is true. But I have to tell you something. I don't think I ever told you this, Melissa. I was up in Minnesota, and I met the head ding-dong with Monster Quest. The head cheese, the guy that owns the whole deal, that produces most of those shows. And he calls it, what was his exact words to me? Oh, science meets BS. But he didn't use BS. And he was pleased that they were going to be able to they were financed for 20 more episodes. And that's what his main concern was. I mean, they don't have any. They don't, you know, they're just producing a TV show. And what's really bad is it makes a lot of the researchers, not your group, because I think that was a great, because let's face it, what's involved with Bigfoot research? You take a tent out, you set up a tent. What woman cannot set up a tent?
Right.
What woman cannot, you know, carry in the, I mean, they women climb off the highest peaks in the world and do this. And Bigfoot research isn't nearly as difficult as doing something like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, when we were out there, what people don't know if you've never been out there to Skookum Meadows is that where you actually camp in Skookum Meadows itself is actually, the way we took was really quite the hike. And
quite the hike, huh?
Oh, it was going down the side of this, I would say the side of a mountain, to get into Skookum Meadows. It's a protected area. And it's kind of like a bowl. That's what it kind of looks like. And we had to hike down through there through, you know, rain and slippery whatever, you know, moss-covered logs and things like this. And we all made it down alive. And then we had to cross through this meadow, and it was raining, and we were just, I mean, I was so soaked. I had water running from the inside of my hat all the way onto my forehead, and just, it was a miserable day.
It wasn't a party, was it?
No, it wasn't. And then, you know, like halfway through it, I think that, you know, we finished doing what we were going to do down there, and they were filming, and we were setting up game cams and yada, yada, yada. And then it was, you know, we finished the game cams and stuff, and it was then that I realized we have to hike back up the side of this mountain now.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man. But we did it, and then the next day, I ended up being the one to volunteer to go back down to get the game cams. But not a bit of that showed up on film and, you know, on the show, except for the picking up of the game cams. But, I mean, I think if people could have seen us trudging down the side of this mountain, I think that people would have probably had some serious respect for what we did.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, right, you're at the editor's mercy.
Yeah.
And they didn't, all the stuff that we filmed here, they didn't use any of it because I made them mad. But the premise of what I wanted to do at that time was I had a good friend who was an Indian, and he was quite the researcher. And one time he was sitting along a riverbank, and the only thing he heard was the last three steps of one of these things and walked right up behind him. And he sat there in the dark, and this thing was standing behind him, breathing basically down the back of his neck. And the only thing, he was, and this Indian, carried a bowie knife with him. He'd take care of himself. But he was so terrified, but he had a tape recorder, and he recorded this thing breathing. And when they played it for a doctor, he said, well, whatever did that had to have 55-gallon oil drums for lungs. So I'm thinking, I never want to be in a situation where I'm in the field where one can just sneak up on me, be within a few inches before I'm aware of it. And they can do that. Without a doubt, they can do that. They don't have to make noise when they're walking, but they do have an odor. So my idea was, at that time, I had that 24-year-old, 45-pound baboon that I was going to take into the field, and there, I guarantee there's nothing that's going to walk up and surprise us without that baboon letting us know first. And that's basically what we filmed. And of course, we filmed it all on my property, which is about 40 acres of woods. And we've had them here before, but they said they weren't going to use it because we didn't go on a real expedition with Winnebagos and four-wheel drives and walkie-talkies and cameras hanging from every tree. No. We did our fake expedition. Most of them are, but that particular fake expedition wasn't elaborate enough for the Monster Quest, so.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I was mad for maybe 2 minutes, and then I realized it was probably for the best.
Right. Especially well, you know, Daniel in the chat room, he makes a really good point, you know, and that these shows really aren't made for the Bigfoot researcher. They don't have us in mind. And I think, you know, it took me a while to really understand that, that it's more about the general public.
Yeah, entertainment.
Right.
Oh, I know, because I've done the last few libraries. I've done a ton of these library programs this summer. And I always ask them, who are fans of the Monster Quest? And there's people say, man, I watch that religiously, which I think is great. Because this is the most PR or whatever about this. Because let's face it, the reason you're interested in it and Eric's interested in it and myself, it's a damn fascinating subject.
Right.
And, you know, and the opportunity or the chance that maybe, you know, though I've been told by people that have done so, it's not such a great opportunity to run into one of these things, you know. And I'm just lucky enough where I live, I could be out taking the trash out and walk into one. So that's equally good, I guess.
Oh, I wish I could say that.
Yeah. My realtor still wonders about that when I said I'd take the property when I said there'd been several Bigfoot sightings close by. He thought, I've never had that as a selling point. Well, I'm really excited she came on tonight. And we talk about the search for Bigfoot site. Monster Quest, though we really didn't make fun of Monster Quest that much. It's really a pretty damn good show.
Yeah, it is. By and large. It sets out and it accomplishes what it's supposed to do. And
yeah.
You know, fine, you know, I mean, if it gets more people interested in the field of research, then wonderful. You know.
Absolutely.
I just think people within the field of research need to calm down because it's not about us. It's about the public. It's about gaining the interest of the general public. And I think it has succeeded in that goal. So, and I think every time they have a new one, I think that in some way it does help out. It does lend some credence to what we're doing. So, who knows?
Well,
you know, maybe 15 years down the road, we won't be looked at as insane anymore. You know?
Well, we probably will, but for different reasons. But, but I figure the person that's going to solve the whole, I don't call it a problem, but put this all together will be the general public. Somebody that's on vacation with their brand new fancy video camera is going to get a piece of film footage that somebody could camp out for months and not get. And that's what will happen. Or it'll be like Harry and the Hendersons. Somebody will be driving through the Cascades and hit one with a car.
Yeah, probably.
That'll be it. And you're right. They'll know that we weren't crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway. So check out Melissa's website, searchforbigfoot.com. It's join up and contribute. We've got lots of room, don't you?
It's searchforbigfoot.org.
Oh, .org, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm glad you corrected me on that.
That's fine.
I thought everything was .com.
No, I tried really hard to get that, but somebody already had it. Somebody was more forward-thinking than me, so.
Search for Bigfoot.org, but you can go to my website, Larry the Animal Guy, and that is a .com. I can't remember. Thanks, Melissa. We really appreciate it. And I hope you tune in next week.
Oh, I will.
For Mr. Green and Mr. Gimlin. What I told Bob is we're going to do a cowboy butt-kicking right here on the radio.
I'm definitely going to look forward to that. That's just about my speed. You know, so.
It'll be a blast. It'll be a blast. Yeah. Well, I'll be on your site later. Anybody else wants to join us, maybe we'll go to that chat room and yell at each other.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on, Larry.
Thank you, Mel, very much.
Bye-bye. All right. Good night.
Good night. And Eric, and you once again did a masterful job. Do you think he's mad at us?
No, I'm just hanging out listening.
Do you think Melissa's mad at us because we said some things we probably shouldn't have said?
Nah.
Do you think we stirred up some controversy?
Controversy's a good thing, and Melissa likes controversy.
You know she does.
I've known Melissa a few years. Yeah, she likes controversy.
Well, who doesn't, you know? What did someone tell me one day? Good, bad publicity is all good publicity. So I forgot to tell you, I've got some exciting things coming up. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the folks above it all, they've asked me to do another Bigfoot program in West Virginia next summer. When I find out the dates for sure, it's going to be for a high school group, but It may be open to the public, so anybody close to Shepherdstown, West Virginia, can hop on over and hear me spiel about it for an hour and a half or so, or however long they allow me, or before the mosquitoes carry everybody off. I think it's going to be outside this time, so that adds a whole different deal to it. So that should be exciting. Maybe you can, gosh, that's probably all-day drive for Eric Altman.
It's only 3 hours.
It's only 3 hours?
Well, yeah.
You just need one well, you'll need one for one day, and you'll need one for the other. But anyway, so I hope you can make it over. So it should be a good time. We're, like I said, next week, right here on this program, Larry Batson's Wild World, we're going to have Harrison Hot Springs, John Green, author of Sasquatch, The Apes Among Us, The Bible of Bigfootdom, along with half of the Patterson-Gimlin film, Bob Gimlin. We're going to talk about the alleged Bigfoot massacre at Bluff Creek. And if you don't know about it, just get on the internet and Google that. Massacre, Bigfoot massacre at Bluff Creek, and you'll find out all this stuff that's been said. And this time next week, we're going to have the whole deal answered. You're going to know the facts behind it all. It's going to be a lot of fun because we have the main guys that are still on this planet, still alive, that can defend themselves, and they're going to absolutely do that. I hear my program. I'm so excited. I just can't wait. And, gosh, I hope everybody has a great week. We'll be at, I'm thinking about it. Don't want to cast off here just soon. I know we just got a couple minutes, but coming up, we've got fantastic school programs. We'll be in Bloomington, Indiana, at Fairview Elementary next Tuesday, Wednesday, up in Andrews, Indiana, at the Andrews Elementary, and that afternoon in Akron, Indiana, Tippecanoe Valley Middle School at 1 o'clock. Then Thursday, the day of our big blog talk show, we're going to be in Greenwood, Indiana, at Center Grove Elementary School, and we're going to be showing those young people our collection of wild animals. So we're looking forward to that. Hope everybody has a great week. We'd like to thank Blog Talk Radio, of course, Wildlife Educational Services. Go to my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. And you can see pictures of all of our animals. There's some Bigfoot videos on there and stuff like that. And also, if you want to contribute to wildlife education and wild animal rescue, you can do that. You'll see the little thing to click, double-click, donate, PayPal, and your donation helps us continue the work that we're doing. Eric, have a good week, buddy. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, Larry, you do the same, and enjoy your weekend. Happy Halloween to you and everyone.
Yeah, happy Halloween, and don't eat too many Snicker bars.
Oh, you ruined my weekend.
All right, you know, what did I give the children? Oh, I tell you what I gave the children one year, but I gave them nachos.
Hey, that's inventive.
What you do is when they present their little trick-or-treat bag, you grab a handful of chips and you drop them in their bag, then you ladle out a thing of cheese sauce, and you pour that in the bag.
There's a Halloween treat for you.
and that's their nachos. Yeah, absolutely. So
that's too much.
Yeah, enjoy that, folks. Have a happy Halloween. Remember next Thursday. This is Larry Batson's Wild World. It has been wild tonight. Thanks to Melissa with searchforbigfoot.org. we'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.